All right, so let's get started. What do you call it? So we're gonna take up.
Women out there are really weird.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if that was just me, but you're coming.
So I thought what we would do is we would take up the issue of learning on Tisha B'Av, and you'll see we'll get to like the broader issue, I think, of what the construct of Tisha B'Av is, but. But I think the issue of learning is it's a very, very, very difficult one to understand. And again, my objective here is not to take up specific shilas about what you're allowed to learn. As you'll see based on the svara, you can kind of work it on your own. But I think it really does give a certain insight into Tisha B'Av. So I want to start off with the Rambam first. Okay, the Rambam and Hilchos Tanios Perek Hey Halacha Yod Aleph. So what does he say? So he says like this. He says, "Talmidei Chachamim, ein nosin zeh lazeh shalom b'Tisha B'Av. Okay, ela yoshvim davim v'nechanim ka'avelim, v'im natzon lahem am ha'aretz shalom machzirin lo b'safa rafa v'kovid rosh." Okay, so the first halacha he mentions is that Talmidei Chachamim, and this is derived from a Gemara Yerushalmi, Talmidei Chachamim don't say hi to each other, don't greet each other on Tisha B'Av. Rather, they sit, you know, sad like an avel. And if an Amma Aretz says hi to them, they what do you call it? They respond in a with COVID rosh, like in a manner that's very like it's a serious day, you know, giving them the message you shouldn't be saying hi. Okay, so that's the first halach on the Rambam. Okay, then he says v'asur likros b'Tisha B'Av v'Torah u'b'Nevi'im of k'suvim v'Mishnah of alachos u'v'Talmud of agados. Okay, the next halacha he says is that there's an isser on Bnei Yisrael, okay, to learn on Tisha B'Av and Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Basically, all learning, okay, all learning is asr, except for Iyov, Kinos, and the bad things that took place in Yirmiyahu, which is essentially a quote from the Gemara, okay. We're going to ignore the Tinoko Shalbis Rabban issue. That's separate. I'm not going to take that up. And then the last part is Umiksasa Chachamim Nohagin Shalol Aniach Bo Tefillin Barosh. And there were some Chachamim who were Noheg not to put on Tefillin Shel Rosh. Okay? So what question would you ask? What question would you ask on the Rambam?
I mean, besides the weird Tefillin thing, well, why is there a problem learning?
Okay, fine. Why is your problem learning? Okay, but we know the Gemara is going to say that. So that's not a problem in the Rambam. That's a general problem of why is there an issur to learn. I mean, insofar as the construct of this halacha is concerned, when you read this halacha, there's something odd about it.
Why is learning bunched together with not saying hi and covering the head and looking sad all the time?
Okay, good. Okay, so that's one. That's one level. In other words, one level is what's the common denominator between these three halachas? Good. But there's something else that's odd. Along that same vein. Because if you notice, right, the Rambam starts off the halacha by mentioning a unique thing to Talmidei Chachamim, right? Then he brings in an isra that's chal on everybody. That the asur likros is not for Talmidei Chachamim. That's an all chal yisra.
Yeah.
And then in the end, he says, miksas chachamim. So if I were organizing my sefer of halacha, what I would do is I would put the isra on Bnei Yisrael in a separate halacha, or at least make it first. In other words, go with the general halacha that it's usher to learn on Tisha B'Av, right? And then bring in these specific examples of what Talmidei Chachamim would do. Okay? You know what I mean? That to me is a pivotal question.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be a very important question. And finally, the other minor question is, it's not as important, but there is a difference between saying Talmidei Chachamim as a klal, and then at the end, Miksas Chachamim. Okay? What do you mean Miksas Chachamim? Like, what does that mean? Why only a few? Why wasn't it just a din in Talmidei Chachamim in general? Okay? Okay.
That's true. That one's weird because I don't know why it's going to take away the mitzvah.
Right. We'll get to that. We'll get to that down the road. Okay? All right. So let's put that to the side. Okay? We're going to come back to this Rambam at the end and answer it. Let's put that to the side and look at the Gemara. Okay? So the Gemara is on Tainus Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay? Well-known Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. All right, kol mitzvos hanohagos be'avel nohagos b'Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says any mitzvah that's noheg by an avel, okay, is noheg on Tisha B'Av. Okay, for example, aser ba'achilu v'shasiyah. Now, of course, Rashi points out immediately, right? That there is no isser on a what do you call it, on a avel to eat, right? There's no idea like that by avel. It's a funny gemara because the gemara says all mitzvahs that are noeg by avel, noeg by tishbav, and the first thing it mentions is an isser that doesn't apply by an avel. Okay, you'll see why that's important. All right, I mean, but Rashi does note that, as I showed you in the source sheets, he does point that out. Okay, then the gemara says, uvesicha v'nila sasandal, right? So anointing yourself and wearing leather shoes, uvetash meshamita, fine. Now, if I asked you at this point, what does that sound exactly like? What would you say? In other words,
I'm a little confused.
Okay, in other words, it says kol mitzvos hanohagos ke'avel, right? What the gemara should have said, right, is kol mitzvos hanohagos b'yom kippur, nohagos b'tishavav. Right? And wouldn't that be a better way of expressing the Gemara? Okay, so you'll say, yeah, but who said anything about Yom Kippur? Well, I'll tell you who said something about Yom Kippur. The Rambam does, okay? As you'll see in a second.
Well, wouldn't you think Avail is a better one? It's not time to emulate Yom Kippur, it's time to emulate Avail's.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, I understand. But I'm just saying, the fact that the first one is an Isser, and Achil, and Shasiyah, okay? Which has nothing to do with being an Avail. Nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true, but Yom Kippur sends the wrong message. Time of, you know, atonement.
Right, okay, fine. Sure. You're right. But we can't deny, and again, okay, fine. So before we get into the Isser learning, just so I can shut Ellie up, if you go ahead and look at, if you look at Halacha Yud in the Rambam, right, if you look at Halacha Yud in the Rambam, what does the Rambam say? He says, Ubaros, Umenikos, right, Misanos, Mashlimos, Tishabav, right, the Aser Berechitza, Ben Chame, Ben Sonen, right, the Aser Besicha, Shaltainok, Uvenila, Sasano, Tashvita, Ki Yoma, Ki Purim. Right? So the Rambam...
The Rambam's halacha book. It makes it easier for the halacha guy.
Oh. I know, but the problem is he can't be lying. In other words, you can't deny the fact that there... You'll see that you can't deny the fact there's some Yom Kippur element here. Right? It's not a coincidence. Okay? But I'm just saying, one thing I'm going to posit is that there's a lack of clarity insofar as what exactly is the structure of the day. Because it sounds a lot like Yom Kippur. Right? But it also sounds like a lot like Avel. But it's not quite Avel, right? It's not quite pure Avel, as we see in the next thing. Because then the Gemara says, right, the also likros betorah, bedavim ksuvim, the lishnos of mishnah betamod of medrash of alachos of agados, right? Now that is, and as I put that last Rambam on the source sheet, that's halacha lemaisa, and Avel can't learn at all, okay? And Avel's not allowed to learn, okay? Here's where the problem starts, though. Because then the Gemara says, "Aval korehu b'makom she'ena rogel likros, v'shona b'makom she'ena rogel lishnos, v'kore b'kinos be'iov udvarim harayim shebiyirmiyahu." So then you have a funny thing, because the Gemara says, "But there's an exception." So Tanakama says, "What's the exception? He can learn it." There's two exceptions. Okay, oh, hold on, I gotta 1 second. There we go. Okay. Okay, okay, I guess, whatever. I don't know how the Hangout thing works, so, like, I assume, Josh, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. All right, so what's odd about the Gemara in Tainus is that it's saying that, and there's really, if this were like an Avel, you can't learn at all, no learning. But Tanakama comes along and has two exceptions. So one is an area that's new to learn, okay? And Rashi explains, what does that mean, right? It means there's some type of tsar, right? There's some type of pain that a person has if you're learning a new sugya, okay? It's mitztair, okay? Be'oso limud. Okay, fine. Why should that matter? In other words, if this really is... Kol mitzvos on
a
hagos.
It was like a different place, you know, like you learn different base measures. It's really awkward. Everyone's staring at you and helping you.
No. It means like a new sugya.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but why should that matter? In other words, b'manashach, if this is really like Hilchos Avelis, right, then it shouldn't make a difference, right? And then the second one also is problematic. So, in other words, the first exception is a new sugya. The second one is he's allowed to learn Kinos, Eov, and Dvarim Ram, B'Yirmiyahu. So clearly the Gemara is implying that the Isser of Limud is not absolute, but then it's not like an Avel, okay? Because by Avel, there is no exception. Okay, so you'll come along and be like, well, he can learn Hilchos Avelis. Of course he can, because he can learn Hilchos Avelis because he can't function as an Avo without knowing that, you know? But let's say a guy said during his Avelos that he wanted to take up like some abstract sugya in the Gemara about, you know, some idea in Avelos. He wouldn't be allowed to do that. It's only practical halacha in order to ensure he can function as an Avo. Okay? Now, why? Skipping over to Nelko Shel Beis Rabban, why? Because it says, Mishum Shenemar, Pikudi Hashem, Mishraim, Samchei Lev. Very simple. So the problem with learning on Tisha B'Av is that it's going to make you happy, right? It's Mesameach Lev. So that's why learning in general is a problem. But the exceptions are either a new sugya, like a whole new area, or what do you call it? Or an area like Kinos or Eov or Dvar Ram Shibri Yom. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, you vanished for like the minute there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. So again, the Gemara is saying that ultimately, what's the issue? So there's an issur to learn, right? And it sounds like the reason why you can't learn is because of Simchas Lev, okay, which is good. And then it says, but there's two exceptions, two categorical exceptions. New sugya concept and these things that are Kinos and Eov and Dvar and Ram, Shibri Yirmiyahu, okay? Now, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says what? He says, "Af eno korah b'makom shein aragel lekros, v'eno shon b'makom shein aragel lishnos." Right? Aval korah hu be'io v'kinos v'armon shemio, etc. So now, so he says what? He says that no, he says there's only one thing you're allowed to learn, and that's the io of kinos and dvar armon. Right? So he argues in Tanakhama, and so far as a new sugya is concerned. Now, of course, that raises a tremendous problem because what's he going to say? He's going to say the reason why you can't learn these new areas is because it's simcha slev. I mean, he's going to have to say that, right?
So no. Couldn't you say he liked your question?
The what?
Well, if it's like Avelis, who cares if it's not simple slave? Avelis says no.
Oh, fine. Okay. Yes, but I don't want to commit to that yet. There's at this point what I would ask. At this point what I would ask is I would say it's a funny thing because what are you going to say? You're going to tell me, let's be honest, okay? Let's say you're learning a sugya in Taharos, right? So, of course, there's going to be some mitzvah there because there's a struggle in learning a new area. But there's also going to be simcha slev. You know, Tana Kama can't deny the fact that there's no simcha slev by learning, learning a new sugya. That's impossible, right? So, like an area that's unfamiliar to him. It's impossible for him to say there's no simcha slev. So you have a funny question here because there's definitely mitzvah and there's definitely simcha slev. And again, the way the Rishonim pointed out is that, in other words, Tana Kama seems to say it's mitzvah and Rav Yehuda says it's simcha slev. But that, if you posit that to Machlokas and Metzias, the facts, you have a serious problem. To me, it's easier to say that both components exist. But then the question is, what's the Machlokas? Okay? So we have to understand.
Wouldn't it be okay to say that it is Sarah, but it's Machlokas and how they structured it based on Avelis?
Like maybe. So let's take a look. Okay. It could be. So let's take a look at this Ritva. Because the Ritva, in my opinion, really helps open up the area a bit. And then we could take a step back and kind of get a sense of what Chazal are trying to do in the Yom, and then get into the particular machlokas about learning and what the Rambam's saying in that halacha. Okay. So the Ritva says like this. The Ritva says, "Tanur banan kol mitzvos nahagos b'avol nahagos b'tishbav." Okay. So the Ritva comes right out and says, "Lav klala mamashu." Okay. So you can't say every mitzvah, right? Because that were true, the hakfias amita batifas arosh, right? The istnahu b'avol the listener b'tishbav. What?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Okay. Ellie, start reading us the Ritva.
Wait. Hello. Can you hear me?
Again.
Am I back?
Yeah. You cut off for like a minute.
Oh, sorry. This whole Google Hangouts
thing. Then vanished.
Very, very difficult for me. What do you call it? Okay. So again, so I'll read the Ritva. So he says lav klala mamashu, right? So you can't say it's a principle that everything applies, right? The hakfias amita vativa sarosh, the isnu b'avel, the lesnu b'tishmav, right? So what do you see? You see that there are certain halachas that apply by an avel that don't apply in tishmav, okay? Elahachi kamar, kol mitzvos los asa anoheges b'avel, noheges b'tishmav. Rather, what's the structure? The structure is any los ases that apply by an avel apply by tishmav, okay? Aval mitzvahs ase sheba aval eino matishbav, right? But the positive commandments you don't do. Sheino chaya bekfias mita v'lo ba'atifa vein sarach lomer bekriya, right? Sheino mitzvahs avelos kedamar hasam mashkin avelos luchud v'kriya luchud. Okay, fine. V'afilu b'mitzvahs lo sase right? Imanu. Like, cut out again? Hello? Can you hear me? So again, so the Ritva says, he says, and even with the mitzvahs lo sase, right? Ein lanu elamai deparit. Okay? We only have that which is specifically described. Shehein nohagos ba'aval kol shiva. Okay? Uklal prat katani. So, and even within the mitzvahs lo sase, it's not absolute. It's only those things that apply during shiva. Right? Therefore, lefika chai b'tfilin. Right? Shein yisur ba'aval elo yom rishon. Right, v'lo chamar tisha b'av levat al mitzvah mishum avelus shaba yoser miyom sheni shel avelus. Right, so he's saying, so it's clear according to him that, and I'm not going to get into the minug today of not wearing tefillin shacharis, but it's clear from the lashon of the Ritva that he was completely opposed to such an idea. But what's he saying though? He's saying even when it comes to the lo sases of avelus, right, that doesn't mean that that it includes everything. Right, you see, it's limited to the normal things that be usher for an avil during shiva, not during the first day of avilus. So it's a very strange formulation, right? In other words, when the Gemara says kol mitzvahs anohagas ba'avil noheges b'tishbav, it didn't really mean that. It meant only lo sases, and not only within lo sases, only those that apply to shiva. Okay. Is that clear so far?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying factually. Okay. Then he says later on, he says, skip down to the next paragraph. He says, Umasha asru likro b'tora, the Mishnah of Talmud, right? Hainu bival likro derech mikra, u'mishnah of Talmud. Okay. Ve'ein seder hayom b'chlal, but you can't say the seder hayom's included in the Isser, because if the seder hayom was included, then how could you lane? How could you have aftora? Right? How could you say kriyashma? He says, Share korin b'tora, u'maftirin b'navi, v'korin kriyashma. Okay. And then he says at the end, he says, and therefore also, we shouldn't stop people from reading, for those who say Karbanos and Ezu Mekomon, etc. Ve'ino Choshesh. Okay. But why not? In other words, could you construct a Havamina to say that really on Tisha B'Av, there wouldn't be a need for such a, that you shouldn't do such a thing? The fact that he mentions it is tempting to think to ourselves that he's bothered, that there is some conceptual basis to say that when it comes to an Isser learning, that would exclude even, let's say laning and okay, so you'll argue it's a tainus, I understand. But you could say because of the avelus, maybe you shouldn't do it at all. Okay. And we know from the Rambam also, and it's notice by the way, that the Ritva does not mention Yom Kippur at all. The only time he mentions Yom Kippur is when, I didn't put it on the sources, but he mentions it in the context of Ne'ilas Sandal. He says and also by Rechitza. So by Rechitza and Ne'ilas Sandal, he does mention that comes from Yom Kippur. That comes from Yom Kippur. Okay. So I'm sorry. It can. But yet he goes. He says later on. He says, like for instance, he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Shekasav Tishbav v'Yom Kippurim, kevan she'ein b'hem rechitza ein mevarach al Ne'ilas Sadayim." Right? So he quotes the Rambam there, meaning the Rambam clearly is equating the two. Okay, and then he says, and then when he quotes, he says in Gemara Yuma, he talks about Ne'ilas Sandal, and he applies that as well to by Yom Kippur over there. He mentioned it applies to Tishbav as well. So what I'm saying is that I know the Gemara never mentions Yom Kippur. It doesn't, okay? At least in this context. But you do see the Rishonim seem to indicate there's some ending of Yom Kippur going on over here. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I know Ellie's going to say, well, thematically it's not Yom Kippur. I agree. It's not thematically. But you can't deny the fact, again, the Rambam saying, V'asar sicha shel tainug v'nila sandal tashmita ki Yom Kippurim, that can't be a coincidence. That cannot be a coincidence.
Right. Well, that's kind of weird. There's the only two that picked out of the Ne'ilas.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right. So yeah. So the question is real. So there's the overall question I want to just take up, the overall issue, and it's just like an insight, but I think it'll help us with the learning. Is how exactly do we view? How do we view this yom? Okay. In other words, what's the like character of the yom? It's funny. Like Chazal. I always like these situations where Chazal are faced with like a they have a certain mission, right? They have a certain objective, right? And it's like in constructing it, right? There's a struggle. There's like a tension. They're trying to produce something, and they're struggling a bit with how to bring it about. Because you see, it's not really Avelis, because if it were, then you couldn't learn it all, right? And you see, there's some aspects of Yom Kippur involved. And you're right, Ellie. It's not a yom of. I mean, there has to be some inyan of tshuva here, because if there's no tshuva, it won't be a tainus, right? There has to be some idea of tshuva. But at the same time, they want Avelis here also. So what do they do? That's the first question I want to understand. Just loosely, what were they trying to accomplish?
We're trying to establish a general feeling of Avelis for the Beit HaMikdash, for what has been lost.
They're trying to create a feeling for what has been lost. Okay. So why couldn't they just... But that's the Avelis part, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Well, I mean, the common quality among the Yom Kippur things is that they're the afflict yourself ones, right?
It's true. There is affliction. Yes, very good.
I mean, the other available things aren't necessarily to cause pain. But these ones are.
Right, that's true. Okay. This isn't like a deep idea, but I just think it helps create like a certain construct for what they're trying to accomplish. So let's understand. We know from other Gemaras, like in Rosh Hashanah, so we know that there's four fast days, right, that Chazal play around with, right? We know that. And Tisha B'Av being one of the four, okay? Right? In other words, you have the 10th of Teves, you have Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, and Tzom Gedalia, and then Tisha B'Av. And they darshan out from Tanakh, etc. So the first step you would take is that, in other words, Tisha B'Av, insofar as, in other words, essentially it's a tainus. No question about it. It's a tainus. Okay, but what do they do? But what do they want to do with Tisha B'Av? What do they want to accomplish? Obviously, they want to distinguish Tisha B'Av from the other fast days. Okay, so what's the first thing they do? So the first thing I would argue they do is that they say, okay, well, like if, for instance, if you look at the Rambam, okay, and the other Rambam I showed you, notice that the Rambam says in Halacha Zion. He says, Tisha B'Av Leilo Kiyomo L'chol Davar. Okay? Ve'in Ochlen Elam Yibad Yom. Uvein Hashmasho Shalo Asar Kiyomo Kippurim. Right? Interesting, right? The Rambam focuses on the fact that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur. So what's the first thing they would do, in my opinion? First thing they do is they say, okay, when it comes to the Isser Tainus is always, obviously, the its most essential thing is the prohibition to eat and drink. Right? So what's the first step they do? They take the isser of eating and drinking and they make it more chumrah. In other words, they borrow from Yom Kippur the chumras of isser of achila and shasiyah. You understand? That's the first thing they do. Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay,
good.
Okay. So I'd say that's the first step. The first step is that they look to Yom Kippur, right, to create within the isser, the normative isser of tainus, which is isser achila and shasiyah. They build off of that, right, a more chumrah type of isser. So they use the institution Yom Kippur as a basis to creating that isser, okay? That's step one, right? So automatically, when people look at Tisha B'Av, what do they see? They see when it comes to the isser of eating and drinking, it's more chumrah, right, than a regular tainus. What's the basis for more chumrah? Yom Kippur.
Well, it's only more chumrah because...
Okay, now what's the next step? And this is where I think the Gemara... The Gemara doesn't mention Yom Kippur, but what's the next step here? Okay, what's the next step? Okay, like you see that the Rishonim don't ignore. Hello. So you do see that the Rishonim, they look to Ne'ilah Sandal, for instance, and Rechitza, and they look to that as coming from Yom Kippur and not from Avelis, right? So why? And the Gemara never mentions Yom Kippur. So what would you say?
I mean, Yom Kippur is the...
I think what you were saying before, Ellie, I don't know how serious you are about it, but I think what you were saying before is true when it comes to this issue. In other words, let's understand the challenge that Chazal are facing here. Okay, let's switch to the other theme. Okay, someone mentioned before that the theme of Tisha B'Av is Avelis, right? Avelis is the theme, right? Tainus is the halachic structure of the yom, right? But now they're introducing this idea of avelus, right, which you don't have by any other tainus, okay? But what's the challenge with that? What's the challenge with doing something like that?
You have to halachify the theme.
That's one challenge. How do you create a halachic construct for the theme? But I'd argue there's even harder challenge that Chazal face, which is that you see avelus. See, tainus is one thing. Tainus, you can have an idea where, what do you call it, where people don't eat or drink one day, right? And that puts them in a certain state of mind. It's artificial, right? But it puts them in a certain state of mind to do tshuva. But think about what's weird about avelus here. In other words, when a person becomes an avel, right? So what does halacha do? Halacha takes a natural state, okay? If I'm an avel because a kara passes away, I'm sad, okay? And what does halacha do? It comes along and creates certain pathways and avenues and constructs for the person to express that natural negative emotion. But what are they trying to do here? Right? They're trying to superimpose.
They're trying to construct the negative emotion.
They're trying to force people, in a sense. They're trying to superimpose avelus onto people. Okay? They're telling people, listen, you need to be sad on this day. Okay? That's a very that's a very challenging concept if you think about it. Right? They're telling people, you must act sad today. Okay? Normally by avelus, right? Normally by avelus, what we would say is that it's a natural emotion that a person has. But obviously when it comes to Tisha B'Av, right, it's just not the case. People aren't naturally sad. So what has to happen? They have to come along and now impose on people, right, Nihugi Avelis. So I think it's like this. There's the Gemara is focusing on the theme of the day. The Gemara is focusing on the superimposition onto people, right, of being an Avel. Okay? One second, sorry. Yeah, so that's what the Gemara is talking. The Gemara is talking about the Gemara is focusing on the theme of the day, right? Thematically, right? It's a day of avelus, okay? But in truth, halachically, okay? I think what they did was that's what the Rishonim are picking up on. I think what they did was they borrowed. You'll see why soon. But they borrowed from Yom Kippur, right? They took the Isra Achila, made it more chamar, and then built off of that the various things you can't do. Right on Tisha B'Av, which is just like Yom Kippur. In other words, I'll put it a different way. You'll see why I'm saying it this way. You see, the thing is like this, okay? If I asked you, okay, what's the status of an Avel, okay? What's his status? You would say his status is part of who he is as a Gavra. Okay, if my Karov passes away, right, I'm defined as a Gavra on Avel. That's my definition now, okay? And because I'm an Avel, so now there's things I can't do, okay? But they didn't do that on Tisha B'Av, okay? Because if you were truly a Gavra Ha'avel on Tisha B'Av, then you couldn't learn at all. You would not be able to learn at all, okay? But if they're also true, then you'd be able to eat and drink, right? So what they said was that we're not going to, and that's what the Gemara is saying it this way, we're not going to say that you're a Gavra Ha'avel on Tisha B'Av. Rather, we're going to say the Yom itself thematically demands Nihugi Avelis. Certain Nihugi Avelis, okay? But it's not a din in me. It's not that I'm an avel. It's that the yom itself demands certain expressions of avelus. Okay? If they do that, then they can start playing around with how far to go, which ones to borrow, etc. You understand? That's the ikker point. So what I think they did was that from a halachic construct point, okay, really the yom is tainus plus, meaning they borrowed from Yom Kippur to make it a more...
Finish off.
In other words, the Iker idea here is that Chazal are coming along and saying like this. They're saying that the Yom itself is a Tainus, okay? And the idea of Yom Kippur is built off of the Tainus. They borrow from Yom Kippur to make it a more chamor, a more stringent form of fasting. And that includes, right, that includes Nila Sandal, etc. Like Eli was saying before, they turn to the paradigm D'oraisa Tainus and use that to guide them in the construct of the day. But that's not the thematic part of the day. From the thematic part of the day, they borrow from Avelis. But the key point is that they're not making you into a Gavra who's an Avel. Rather, they're saying that because of this type of day, we want you to behave in a certain way. We want certain Yehugi Avelis to be expressed. Okay? So you see there's like this composite, like joining together of an Adin of Tainus and a Din of Avelis that they're squeezing into this Yom. Okay? And I think that, and if that's the case, I think the learning part is really what I think the learning is what exemplifies this whole idea. Because if this were an Isser Gavra, then I would never be able to learn at all. If I'm defined as an Avel, as a Gavra, how could I ever learn on Tisha B'Av? I'm just like an Avel. Avel can't learn at all. No exceptions, right? But if you say, let's take the area of learning that everybody agrees about. Everyone agrees you can learn Kinos and Rio. Because if the learning itself is, let me take a step back. Why can't an Avel learn? Why can't he learn? Simple question. Why can't he learn?
I assume it distracts him from trying to get him to focus on.
Exactly, right. It's an activity that the Simcha Slave that takes place is a stira to what he's supposed to be focused on. It's Sosar, his status as a Gavra Avel. But you can't say that on Tisha B'Av, because on Tisha B'Av, since the Yom demands Nihugi Avelis, so as long as the learning is a Kiyam in the Yom, there's no stira to speak of. You understand? There's naturally speaking, the prohibition of learning could never include things like Kinos or Eov, because those things are Kiyam in the Yom itself. Okay, so it's true, because the question you have to ask is, won't a guy get some Simchas Leiv learning Eov? Right? Won't he get some Simchas Leiv learning Yirmiyahu? I know it's depressing, but us Baalei Svara, right? If we're working out an area in Kinos, right? Isn't there a certain happiness we get when we come up with a good Svara? Of course there is. Of course there is. Right? There's no question about it. Right? No. Right? In other words, you have to say that a person will be happy learning, even if it's a sad area. There's a certain part of the mind that's going to be ecstatic learning it. But since the topic itself is a kiyum in the yom, that's why it's okay to do. You understand that? That's a critical point. In other words, if it were din in the gavra, then you can never learn at all, right? But if it's a din in the yom, in other words, you'll be happy. You can't deny the fact that there's a certain simchas leiv in learning dvarim raim, for sure. Right? In other words, a guy learns Yirmiyahu, right? So of course it's sad what happened there. But there's certain incredible ideas that you're going to develop that are going to make your mind happy. You can't deny that. But since the theme of the learning itself is the kiyum in the yom, right? That's why, of course, you can do it. And that's what the Ritva is saying by saying that the Seder HaYom itself will be excluded. Because the Seder HaYom is a kiyum in the yom. Of course, if you lane and the Haftorah, all those things are part and parcel of the construct of the yom itself. So, of course, a guy can do that, right? But if you were an Avel, let's put aside laning. If you were an Avel, right, if your status is a Gavra Avel, then you can never learn at all. Then Tisha B'Av, you won't be able to learn Kinos. Right? There'd be no such avenue to exist. But if you say that the Yom demands these Nihugi Avelus, right? And therefore, when he's by not learning, what's he doing? So by not learning, basically, he's not engaged in Simcha Slave, right? But there can be Simcha Slave on Tisha B'Av, right? As long as the learning itself is a Kiyum in the Yom. So that's why he's allowed to learn Kinos, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? I'm not going to get into specifically, what sad things you can learn or not learn. But the point is, I'm just trying to explain what the avenue is to say that someone can learn on Tisha B'Av. Because the Yom demands Nihugi Avelus, right? But as long as my learning is a Kiyum in the Yom, you can't say that's a problem in the Nihugi Avelus. Is that clear? Okay. I think that's why it could be. Like the Gemara is not that specific, right? That question always comes up every year. Like, for instance, the Gemara doesn't mention certain prakim in Gittin that talk about the Chorban, but yet other Rishonim and Achronim bring it down. I don't know. I'll tell you why in a second. I'll show you when you define the last Rambam, like to give a better contours for what a person is allowed and not allowed to learn. Okay. I just want to get this basic idea out there first. Okay. Oh, so before we get to that last Rambam, so what's the machlokas now between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? See, this explains the basic construct and explains the category that everybody agrees with. What I want to know is, but what's the other category? Whereas Tanakam holds that I can learn a new area, right? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I can't. What kind of machlokas is that?
You don't want to cheat and say that you said the Gavra is not all.
Say it again? No, that's going to be hard because he's going to say, who, according to Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
I don't know, he's going to learn him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say? I think Rabbi Yehuda is very easy. Because what's he going to say? Rabbi Yehuda is the easier position.
I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, but
we have to acknowledge that factually, right? We have in front of us, there's no question there's mitzdayer, and there's no question there's simcha slave in this type of learning. Okay, it's different. But let's be clear, it's different than kinos, okay, or Eov. Eov also has mitzdayer and simcha slave, but the mitzdayer of Eov is more that it's just like very sad, right? Sad things that happened, right? So that's what makes him. It makes it painful, but at the same time, there's simcha because he's engaged in learning. So what's different here? I think Alex is making good. Alex is making a good step. In other words, Alex is trying to differentiate and say that what makes it different here. There's a difference between saying that, which if a guy learns a new area, right? So on the one end, you're going to say that. That it's, in other words, if you look at the type of learning experience, it's not a pure simcha slave, right? There's some aspect of the learning that's painful, right? So as long as I don't have a complete expression, simcha slave, which is expressed in two ways, either through learning a new sugya or through learning kinos, either way, there'll be an incomplete simcha slave, right? So what you're saying is, then it'd be mutter. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, what would he say?
It's the old positive.
In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue and say, listen, any aspect of Simcha Slev is going to be a problem, right? But the thing is, since learning kinos, right, is a kiyum in the yom, right? Since there's a kiyum in the yom there, that's why you're allowed to do it, okay? And in fact, I'd even argue, if you want to go further, you can argue that Rabbi Yehuda is looking at the technical construct of the isser of learning by Avelis and really adhering more to its natural application to Tisha B'Av. Right, because he's saying learning is usser outright, but of course the isser couldn't naturally include kinos because the yom itself is what do you call it? There's a kiyum in the yom. All right, but I think that's the machlokas. Okay, so now that leads us to this last Rambam. Okay, so why does the Rambam put these three halachas together? Okay, why does he do this? So it's interesting. All right, and I'm not saying this in an elitist way. Okay. But what's odd, there is something, it's interesting the Gemara spends a lot of time focused on the learning issue. The learning issue really becomes the pivot of, or the central concept to really express the Nihugi Avelis on Tisha B'Av. Now let me ask you a question. It's an interesting isser, because the isser to learn is because it's going to produce Simchas Leiv. But let me ask you a question. Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest about it, okay? Is that really going to happen? Meaning, let's take the average balabas who never learns, right? Are you trying to tell me that if he picked up a chumash, right, he's going to automatically be happy? You know what I mean?
No, isn't it the activity as a distractor?
But it's interesting. But the Gemara says misamche lev, okay? Misamche lev isn't just simply taking you away, right? Rather, it's making you happy. And happiness would be a stira to the Avelis.
It's not removing pain, it's causing joy.
Right. It's not just a distraction. It's that it's causing you happiness. Right? So I want to posit as follows, okay? I want to posit that in truth, the reason why the Rambam puts the halacha smack dab in halacha yud aleph, right, is because in truth, right, it's true the Chazam made this an isser for everybody. But in truth, who are the people that are really going to be affected by the halacha? A Talmid Chacham, okay? Right, and I'll show you how he sets up the halachas like this, okay? Halacha Yud, right? Halacha Yud is talking about the Isurei Yom Kippur, meaning the aspect of Tainus where they were machmired on Tainus, building off Yom Kippur. Okay, that's construct of the Yom. But when it comes to Nihugi Avelus, which is the focus of Halacha Yud Aleph, okay? When it comes to the practicing of Avelus, remember I said before, the challenge that Chazal face is superimposing, right, Avelis onto us, meaning that there's a certain demand, there's a certain requirement that we act like an Avel on Tisha B'Av, right? Now, in truth, that's a very difficult thing to accomplish. So look at the order he does in Halacha Yud Aleph. He says Talmid Chachamim, right? Ein knows and says Shalom B'Tishabav. Okay, but if an Am Haaretz says hi to them, then they answer them roughly. Now, why would an Am Haaretz say Shalom? Because in truth, right, as much as Chazal are trying to create a theme of Avelis, right, the fact is that there's only so far they go, and for the average person to internalize the sadness of the day is not a simple matter. They don't normally do it. But Talmid Chacham, he understands the loss of the Korban. It's naturally part of who he is. So of course on Tisha B'Av, he's never going to say hi to someone. In other words, it's a natural expression of the state of a Talmid Chacham that he would never say hi to someone else on Tisha B'Av. But in Am Haaretz, right, he would, because to him, all he has is that which Chazal superimposed onto him. But beyond that, he doesn't see anything. He doesn't see any natural sadness. So what the Rambam is first setting up is, in my opinion, he's setting up the contrast between the experience of a Talmid Chacham and the experience of the Am Haaretz. In this one little halacha, he's saying, by a Talmid Chacham, this is not the superimposition of Avelis. A Talmid Chacham naturally, right, is so overwhelmed by despair on Tisha B'Av, he would never say hi to someone else. But an Am Haaretz would do what? Of course he would say hi, because he'll follow the halacha up to a certain point. But since the Avelis isn't natural to him, so of course he's not going to end up, he's going to say hi to other people. He won't see it in the same way, right? And that's what leads the Rambam to the next halacha, which is that it's true there's a general Isra on Klal Yisrael to learn, right? But in truth, the Simcha slave is really one that is, in my opinion, is really unique to the Talmid Chacham. In other words, he's putting it here to show you that, of course, no one can learn on Tisha B'Av. But insofar as the impact, right? In other words, who's going to really feel that impact? In my opinion, the impact is going to be felt by the Talmid Chacham. He's the one who's really going to feel and really internalize the impact of not being able to learn, right? Because to him, learning is the true Simcha slave. I don't think it is for the average person, okay? I know it's a general Isra. I'm not saying it's not a general Isra. I'm saying the fact that Rambam puts it here is I think he's trying to get the message across that this is something that the Talmid Chacham really appreciates, the most. And then he ends off, I'm not going to get into the halachic rationale for whether you can, about not putting on tefillin to Rosh. Let's put that to the side. But Mixas Chachamim is showing you, I think what he's saying is that based on a person's overall, state of mind, naturally, in other words, and I only think a Chacham can be on this level, if a Chacham has the right to even go as far to take on other Nihuge Avelis, right, on Tisha B'Av, that Chazal did not put in place. Because remember, Chazal are superimposing. They're saying, we want you to act like an Avel on Tisha B'Av. And they create certain guidelines. But they would never stop someone who wanted more expressions of Avelis. I understand how luckily it's a big question. How could someone be Mivato, a Doraisa, putting on tefillin? That's a great question. I don't know. But the fact that the Rambam brings that down there, and not in a critical way, is showing you that if a person truly really naturally feels the sadness of the day, you see that the idea of wearing tefillin, that comes from an Avelis Yom Rishon. The idea of wearing tefillin would be troubling to him. He couldn't imagine putting on tefillin. And there's a halachic avenue for such an expression. But that has to come naturally. So I think what the Rambam's doing is that in Halacha Yud Aleph, he's acknowledging the fact that Chazal are forcing us to act like an Avel. But he's showing that a Talmid Chacham, naturally speaking, will want to be an Avel on this day. Because he will want to be Noeg Avelis. And he puts the learning in this halacha to really express that idea. That it's true the halacha is for everybody. Right, but this halacha that really exemplifies the Nihuge Avelis, right? That's the one that the Talmid Chacham is the one who's really going to be affected by it, not the average person. So I think that's why he structures that halacha that way. First, he tells you, he creates the contrast between Talmid Chacham and Am Haaretz and shows that a Talmid Chacham is someone who would never want to say hi on Tisha B'Av. Then he brings in the general Isser of learning, but he's sandwiching it between Talmid Chacham to show you that it's true, it's Usser for everybody. But only someone who's really, loves learning, right, will really appreciate this Isser. And then the last thing is to show you that there is a subjective basis for an individual expression of Avelis on Tisha B'Av. I'm not going to get into the halachic ramifications of that. It's a good question. But the point is, Mixas Chacham means a guy can say, listen, I'm so overwhelmed by the sadness of this day that I'm going to go further than what Chazal put in place. Meaning Chazal used Nihug Avelis as a template, but a person has the right to build off of that if it's a keem in the yom. So that's what I want to say the Rambam is holding. Notice the Ritva doesn't buy that at all, right? The Ritva's like, nah, you can't do that. Like, of course you have to wear tefillin. By the way, you should know something as a side point. It's a very interesting thing because you do see the idea of not wearing tefillin, in my opinion, should not be a din in the tzibur. Okay? In other words, today the minhag is people don't wear tefillin during shacharis, right? But I think it's a very bad idea. I think Chazal were very careful insofar as this is as much we're going to force people to be noag avelus wise and stop, right? And then give like avenues for people to go ahead and go further if they wanted to, right? I'm not sure if creating a universal minhag of not wearing tefillin shacharis is such a great idea. I don't think that fits into what I believe is like the natural expression of avelus a person should have.